B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
They're still calling in for tickets.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate you trying. We have given away our final pair of tickets to Genesis at TD Garden. Get to Ticketmaster.com. Buy yourself a pair. They're available now. It's a Finish Strong Friday presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong. They want to thank their amazing employees and customers for their loyalty and service. Finish your next job strong. Visit call128.com.
Call128.com. That's easy to remember.
Yeah, that's probably why they did that. So that you would remember
it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Very good. Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. You mentioned Xander Bogaerts playing his 1,000th game.
Yeah.
Is there a more underappreciated athlete in Boston outside of Xander Bogaerts? Because I think Xander Bogaerts, if you figure out all the athletes we have in town, Xander Bogaerts is damn near the top of the individuals in their respective sports.
And to his credit, he hasn't had like that dip where, and I know you'll go through slumps and this and that, but from a consistency standpoint, like yesterday, you even watched, you know, Devers sort of airmail that one into right field. He almost could have turned a double play. He had a crappy throw to second. Immediately after that, Bogaerts deep in the hole, gets it and guns the guy down it for like cannon of an arm. Good leadership. Took a, I don't want to say team friendly, but also a player friendly. Both, it's a good contract for him. He's underpaid.
No, it isn't. It's a bad contract for him. In fact,
he's underpaid.
Benefited the Red Sox in a major way, and they've rewarded him by not exactly doing their best to spend.
Yeah, to keep like Mookie and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've not done their very best at putting the best team.
But they still have a $200 million
collection of players. Yeah, I know, but a lot of that is from their own mistakes.
I know.
So that stuff aside, is there a guy in Boston more underappreciated who is as good as his job at his job as Xander Bogaerts is at his in this town?
I can't come up.
I don't think that guy exists. I don't think people realize how good this player is. I mean, people that are watching every night do.
You know what's funny?
But the star power and recognition for Xander Bogaerts is not where it should be.
What about Rask?
What about him?
Is he underappreciated for how good he is? Like, we're gonna phrase it that way. But what is it with Bogaerts? What is it with Bogaerts that doesn't elevate him to, you know, Bergeron status, Brady, Edelman, Tatum?
It's baseball.
Yeah, but see, Mookie exploded, at least locally, and I know it was an issue across the league, but now, you think Red Sox, you always said it's Mookie Betts. It's Mookie Betts, or it's like one of their starting pitchers. It's David Price or, you know, whoever. You know, Josh Beckett, you know, Lester. Like, you think that. Like, you don't think Bogaerts like that. I don't know why. Is it because he doesn't act
and
like
say it's
it?
Baseball, but what does that have to do with it? I mean, there's still plenty of people that do watch baseball. I mean, there's plenty of people still watching their games. It's not as prominent as it once was, but it's certainly on par with the Bruins.
Is it because of their, well, wait a minute. But see, Mookie was here during the dips too. Like, say the teams were, you know, when they won, they win. When they're in last place, they tank and they're off the radar. Is it because of those type of years that may affect the way you view him as opposed to a steady Bergeron, steady Edelman, steady Brady? You know, Tatum's sort of the same. He's getting better. Does the team's dips hurt Bogaerts? Or the bad years.
Yeah, no, there's definitely part of it because you tune them out.
And it pisses you off about them. You know, that they can't, you know, you win one year and then you're in the basement the next. That's what's frustrating with the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, Xander Bogaerts.
But that didn't hurt Betts, you know?
shows up and plays his ass off every day.
Quietly.
That's who that guy. Yeah, quietly. He doesn't have the big personality.
Never bitches.
But there are plenty of other guys that don't have this big booming personality. I wouldn't say that Patrice Bergeron is Mr. Personality.
I was going to bring him up, but we go out of our way to appreciate him.
I would say
put his number in a raft.
Jason
right?
Tatum is not Mr. Personality. He's not booming with personality.
Right.
And they all seem like nice people, but, you know, friendly people. But
correct.
They don't have this larger-than-life sort of presence like David Ortiz did or
no,
Pedro
right.
did
right.
in this tech. Yeah. That might be part of it, too.
I mean, kid just played his 1,000th game, you know. Consistent, but like you said, bust his ass, not injured, and availability. That says something that long, you know.
So I just think it's an appropriate time to point that out. Yeah, there is a guy that is completely underappreciated in his hometown of Boston, where he plays, not where he's from. Obviously.
Yeah, and I think Maz wrote an article on him too. He's in his peak right now, the X-Man. Yeah, just hitting his groove, and he is in his peak right now.
Let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. Wayne in Grafton. Go ahead, Wayne.
I tell you, Wednesday night, I was having flashbacks. I have a lot of flashbacks, but this was to the 70s, just watching that line brawl. I got my Don cherry popped. I mean, I almost had gross misconduct in my shorts. And, Zoe, I saw that birthday video you sent to my cousin Phil. It was really good.
Nice.
I have some videos.
I bet you do, Wayne.
Some videos with I got puppets. So, you know.
Hardy has puppets. I wonder what Wayne's puppets look like.
Chris in Hartford. Hi, Chris.
Hello?
Yeah, Beetle Hardy Zoe.
Yo,
Chris.
Hey.
This is a serious question. I want all three of your opinions, okay? Usually I just hit Zoe with it because, you know, he played football.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in Hardy's look, in Beetle's look. But Zoe, I do want to hear from you. Belichick picked Stidham. 100%. We know it. He had some influence on Mac. When it comes to the season, is he going to go ahead and have the hard pounding on Mac, or he wants Stidham to win? Thanks, guys.
Perfect world.
Let's clean up the question. Is he more emotionally invested in the success of Jared Stidham or Mac Jones?
Wouldn't it make him look better if Stidham exploded and somehow, okay, wow.
Why do we have to add a question to this? We just cleaned up the question.
I know.
It's an either or. It's Mac Jones or Jared Stidham. Those are the options.
Emotionally, Stidham.
Business, Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Emotionally, I would agree with what Chris is saying. He picked Stidham, and he'd be more interested in Stidham having success because it would prove that he can draft a quarterback anywhere, give the guy to me for a couple of years, and I'll turn him into a real quarterback.
Business-wise.
Whereas Mac Jones was a first-round pick, and there may have been some
sort of
other contributing factors and influences on the pick and pressure to make that pick, that he would almost really enjoy going against that grain and having Stidham beat out Mac Jones for the job.
See, I always hear this narrative, too, that Stidham sucks so bad Bill wouldn't even put him in a game. I think Bill likes the kid to the point he didn't want to hurt him a year ago. I think we're rolling with Cam. It's the line of the bed you made.
All right,
and it's a wash year.
Pick it up on the other side with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive.
They're ready. We're ready for 12:30. We're not going to put it off.
Okay.
You're ready?
Yeah, we'll do the Aaron Neville headlines 12:30.
Oh,
if I think about it, if I think about it anymore, I'm gonna talk myself out of it. We'll just do it.
Pelicans.
Hardy, Zoe told me he has 8 requests on Cameo for Mother's Day.
Thank
greetings.
You. Hit me up at Cameo.
I did a Mother's Day Cameo this morning.
I like moms.
I just completed one.
I mean,
you like moms.
You know what I'm saying? Be weird.
Smile if you love men's prostates.
It's funny.
Hey, Ma, happy Mother's Day. That's all I'll say. I yell at her. Hey, where's the meatloaf, Ma? No meatloaf today because it's Mother's Day. You don't have to cook. Thanks for letting me live in your basement.
That's a lot of moms you got to say hi to.
I'll get them done. Get them in before tomorrow. Get them all done.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
All right, then. Yeah. Hit us all up on Cameo.
You want me to do one for yours, T-Bone? You sign up.
You sign up? You wouldn't give him one for free?
No.
You wouldn't give him one on the house?
No. Yeah, I do. I shoot him a video.
617-779-0985. Brandon's in Boston. Brandon, what happened to your phone yesterday? You broke up on us.
I'm not sure.
What's up,
P? I don't control with the satellite. I don't control the satellite connection. But this is what I will say, though. You know, with all the money spent with the Patriots on offense and defense, you got Jonnu Smith, Aguilar, Bourne, and what's the other guy?
Hunter Henry.
Humphreys, right?
Yeah, Hunter Henry, yes.
With this being said, I want to get to OTAs. You're going to see who's serious when it comes to OTAs because – I think it's mandatory that OTAs should be put in force, especially for the Patriots, because, listen, they had a bad season.
And I agree with that.
This team needs to be cohesive. It starts now. You're going to see who's serious who comes to the OTAs. Now, if you don't see none of these guys that they spent big bucks on, you're going to know who's serious. You're going to know where they're going to go, because I can tell you what, Cam Newton's going to be there.
They're there.
I don't know who else
they're
is going to show up.
They're already all there. They're already all there.
Let's see who's going to show up to the OTAs. Minicamp is mandatory.
Yeah.
Let's see what they do in OTAs. If no one shows up, if the big buck guys don't show up OTAs, you're going to know this team is going nowhere.
Yeah.
I want to know your thoughts on that, guys.
I'm interested to see, I haven't heard anything on Judon. Is he around? Is he into it, or is he training by himself somewhere, you know? But we obviously know Hunter Henry, thanks to Kennedy Stidham, is living with the Stidhams, roommates. So he's around. We saw Cam in New York with all the guys. So they at least were probably up here, you know, checking in, and then went on a nice little visit down to New York City, you know, with his crew. So
OTAs are a total of 10 days, 3 days at the end of May, and then 7 more days.
I would say with Brandon
over the course of June.
But I know what Brandon's talking about too. But I think, you know, those OTAs and those individual throwing sessions where you sort of organize it yourself, you know, away from the coach, even the coach might see some film on it. Those are very important, especially with this team.
May 24th is the date of the first OTA for the Patriots. Rookie minicamp is the 14th, 15th, and 16th of this month. And mandatory minicamp will be June 15th through the 17th for the Patriots. Training camp will begin in late July, per usual. That is the plan. So I think there is something to that. I think the guys are going to show up, though. I don't know what all the you'll know who's serious they're going to I mean, I don't think you have to fear that yet. I know that attendance will probably take a hit due to the NFLPA and what they've encouraged players to do, which is stay home. And I do know that that statement was put out by Patriots players through the NFLPA. I'm thinking that doesn't happen.
I think that's
if there's not a number of players that feel that way.
But I think they also have to do that from a technicality standpoint. Like, hey, we also stand together as, you know, as a league, as players within the league. But like, I'm down there filming stuff the other day. There's a lot of cars in the players' lot. There's a lot of guys around. You could go in, and I think they have to stagger it too, especially with some of the restrictions and protocols that not everybody can get in the weight room workout together. We're going to keep, you know, eight at a time. But doesn't mean you can't be in there watching film, can't be in there, you know, maybe running out on one of the fields. You have 5 different things and areas you can go in there. It's not just like, hey, everybody's going to weight room at the same time. You hang out in the locker room, you can be getting treatment, you can be getting, you know, therapy, all that stuff.
Brian's in the car. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Happy Friday.
Good afternoon.
Just wanted to comment real quick on, completely agree with Beetle on Xander Bogaerts being underappreciated. But I think it speaks to how badly the Red Sox ownership has squandered all the goodwill that should have been built up with four World Series titles. In the last 10 years, fans have had to endure the chicken and beer crew, that walking disaster that was Bobby Valentine, multiple last-place finishes. It's not surprising that the average Red Sox fan or the average Boston sports fan doesn't have the appreciation for a guy like Xander Bogaerts. And it's a real crime because he's a total professional. He's everything you would want from a leader of your team. So I just thought it was a really great point, Beetle. But I think the answer as to why he's not more appreciated has everything to do with how badly the Red Sox ownerships have handled the team in the last 10 years. Have a good weekend, guys.
Okay. All right, thanks, Brian. I think you're probably right. There's a general dislike of, I don't know, the Red Sox among the casual crowd. I mean, hardcore Red Sox fans are still going to watch their
game. Hardcore baseball fans.
Hardcore baseball fans.
You're not going to be bugged by this
one
bit. Right.
No, I know what you're saying. And you love Xander Bogaerts, but it just feels like Xander Bogaerts is never going to be a bigger star than he is right now, which is too bad because he's terrific. He's everything you would like about a player. Paul and Braintree on this same topic. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, he kind of stole my thunder. I was about to say the same damn thing. But, you know, as far as we could go back to, I might as well throw in the fact that I think Stidham should have had a chance playing football, but I guess he's not going to get the chance. I'm going to leave you to be. And let me ask you something. Did you put the book I sent you on the free table at the office, or did you actually read it? Have a good day.
What book was that?
I sent you the David Ortiz book.
Oh, yeah, no, we have that.
IMVP.
That's on the shelf down the hall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
There you go. All right, good.
Excellent.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, yeah, we took care of that.
Also, for anybody who hasn't seen, the items that were sent to us for Jim Lau's shelf are proudly displayed, and it is not just like a bunch of junk up on the shelf. Like, Jim took his time to arrange those, organize them. It's stunning. Is what it is.
That week he wasn't here and he left his door open, I thought about going in and messing stuff up.
I wouldn't do that for you.
But I wouldn't do that to
no,
Jim. Jim's too nice a kid.
Well, yep. I think it might make him a little twitchy. He's a very orderly person.
I think it's a test. Leave the door open, see what happens.
No.
He's probably got a camera in there filming stuff. I'm going to get him a bigger TV. Putting a big one in there.
Yeah.
He's got one of those Michael Scott flat screens.
Stop by the Target on your way home. Pick him up a new.
Target?
Yeah.
I guess one down in Kingston. Evacuated for something. Saw that on social media. Hope everybody's okay down here.
You got anything else on that?
No, I don't.
Okay. But
someone could have pulled the fire alarm.
Yeah, could be anything.
Someone like you wanted to pull a fire alarm.
Yep. Fire department offered up on Twitter, though. They're doing school testing. They said you can do a ride along with them and pull all the alarms
That'd
you want.
That'd be awesome. I would do that.
We know you would. That's why they offered it up. Mark in the car. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
A couple things for you real quick. So fighting in hockey, I feel like it's kind of evolved as the sport has kind of evolved, where it happens when it's necessary. The days of guys like PJ Stock running around on the ice are pretty much over.
Yeah.
And as for like traveling alone, dude, you got to try it. It's awesome. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want.
What would I do on a plane? Where did you go with it? Where did you travel alone to?
I've been up to Montreal on my own. I've been down to New Orleans. I've been down to Atlanta.
These are, Montreal, New Orleans. Those places do have some seedy elements to them.
Zoe, the plane is the best part. You go to the airport when you want. You go and grab yourself something at Hudson News.
Yeah, but like
when
the excitement to get there.
You get on the plane when you want. You sit there on the plane by yourself. You read your book. You look at your stories on your TV set there. The flight is maybe the best part of the traveling alone.
Like, I bug Sosie the whole time we travel together.
Oh, my God.
He'll be sitting there trying to do his nuts on, poke him. Like, boo!
Oh, that was...
Then he falls asleep, and I start tickling his nose.
As if we didn't know already, I will never travel with Zoe.
No.
No.
I mean, we've traveled with Zoe, but not the actual traveling part of the flight.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Hey, Zoe, we'll see you in Atlanta. We'll see you when we get there.
Yeah.
Yep.
In fact, our sort of... traveling situation for Super Bowls, we all sort of end up doing our own thing. So, you know, if it's the Patriots, you're with the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If but not, that's just changed over the years. I mean, I think LA and might have to go out together.
Why?
Well,
because the team won't be going.
No, but yeah. Even in the we've
you won't fly out together?
Oh, we haven't been.
Didn't we go to we didn't fly down to Miami together?
Oh, Hardy and I were on the same flight. I remember that because we got car service together. Remember that?
Nope.
Yeah, you do. Super Blonde Blonde was with us.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, you had the big car.
Yeah, remember we were walking through the airport?
You waited for the Uber.
And you had to chase the guy with the bag?
You lost your bag.
Yep.
You lost your bag. How do you not remember this stuff?
He chased some guy through the airport thinking he had stolen his bag, and in fact, he hadn't?
It wasn't my bag.
You need to take memory medication.
I got
to
write him an apology note still.
Get you a little ginkgo biloba over there.
There's vitamins you can take. I remember I had the calamari, that restaurant you took me to in Dorchester there. Not Dorchester, but Jamaica Plain, whatever that place you were in. Roslyn, though.
Hardy has headlines, and they are not your standard issue headlines.
This is a good one, folks.
They are. Well,
we don't know that it's going to be good. We came up with the idea 20 minutes ago. You want an Aaron Neville headline?
Yeah, how can it be bad?
All right, we're going to do an Aaron Neville headline.
Right now.
All right.
All right, here we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Great reaction to the headlines, Hardy. The people love it. They really do.
I think the people love Aaron Neville, is what it's... This is more about Aaron than anything. And the sad announcement, he will not be touring anymore.
I won't lie. I saw the headline for a second, and I thought it had said that he had...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it said Aaron Neville, 80. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it said, we'll no longer be touring.
Lanny just came in to do the required 9 hours of sound pulling for Felger and Maz.
But
he impresses me as an Aaron Neville guy.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
You down with Aaron Neville?
What is that, like one or two songs?
Oh, my God.
Would you play that in the Lincoln?
No, okay.
He's
but
throwing
he,
a little shade.
Play the that one in Town Merc?
But he knows the one that that we just played.
It's like, get out of
and
here.
And you use for headlines. Wouldn't be surprised if it's on a playlist of his.
I saw Toucher and Rich crapping all over your town there, Lanny. You and Everett. Pick your two towns out.
He doesn't have headphones on. He can't hear a word you're saying. And
plus, he's busy. He's got a lot of work to do before 2 p.m.
Reading from Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe. Headline, Nesson's team is happily back at Fenway, but what about going on the road again? He writes a story about the Red Sox broadcasting crew. Remy, Eck. I almost said Orsillo, but I didn't. O'Brien.
Dave O'Brien.
So Dave O'Brien, Remy Eckersley, they're back at Fenway, and they were there for yesterday's game with the Tigers. They will go back to Watertown where their studios are when the Red Sox are in Baltimore this coming weekend, and going back on the road is unlikely to happen this year. They're going to do the rest of the games that are on the road still at the home base. Dan Shaughnessy writes, maybe never, in terms of them going back out on the road. Remy says, I wouldn't mind. Doing it this way is beautiful. I don't know if we'll ever travel again, and I don't see any need for it. We've got everything we need. I'm loving this. Sleeping in my own bed, doing it this way is beautiful. I hate the road. I'm done with the road. Sounds like he would not enjoy the alone vacation. Another comment in here is from Eckersley, who says, this has worked out great for Jerry, who wasn't going out on the road anyway. I have no problem if we don't go back. Price, Eckersley went on to say, not traveling would have saved me a lot of headaches a few years ago. I wasn't even supposed to be on that bleeping trip in the first place.
I love the way he just tells it like it is.
This man is a New England treasure. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that...
Talk about underappreciated.
But, yeah, I don't think he's underappreciated.
Nope.
If you watch the games, you appreciate him a lot. He is a New England treasure, and it should be a blank check policy for him. Mm. If he ever decides he doesn't want to do it again, you have to say, blank check, what numbers do you want me to write on this check to make sure you don't stop doing this, Eck?
Yeah.
Because we can't lose you. We can't not have you on the games now.
Right.
He's the best. The absolute best. I'd pay him whatever amount of money it would take to make sure he's there every single game. He's one of my favorite broadcasters of all time. And he hasn't been doing it that long, you know, compared to someone like Remy, who's been doing it for decades.
It's interesting, though. I mean, I can't see baseball going that way. I mean, 162 games, the grueling road schedule depends whether or not you travel with the team. I think, you know, commercially, I think it's a little more problematic when you travel with the team. It's set up a little better. Like with football, it's only, you know, it's 10 road games, basically.
So Eckersley went on to say, for the most part, fans don't know the difference whether we're there or not. While O'Brien says, we've proven we can do it remotely, but I want to be there.
There's your play-by-play guy.
We can serve the fans better if we're there, and it's been hard to do the same things the same way, and that's why it's such a joy to be back at the ballpark. I would agree with O'Brien on this.
He's right.
I think broadcasts have suffered because broadcasters have not been there.
If, like, from calling games, I could tell when guys are in studio because there'll be a little bit of a, not a delay, but it's not the same type of reaction you
There's
get
a
if
disconnect.
You're in the building. You don't have the electricity of the building, the environment. That's something that you miss on NFL Sundays. That wasn't there last year. So it wasn't problematic because you didn't have fans. So, I mean, it was a dead ass stadium. And it's tough for them to even play in that type of environment, let alone call a game, or for it to sound like you're calling a game.
I just think you serve a purpose when you're at the game site. You are
serving.
You see
so much more. You see so much more.
I know you're able to see on a TV broadcast the game, but they are another set of eyes and ears at the location of the game that can help bring the game experience to you because you're not at the game, but they are.
I could tell substitution patterns. I could see, you know, subgroups, you know, injuries on the sideline.
Right.
If someone has a blow up on the sideline, if it's an issue between a coach or a player, you miss all that stuff.
And that's what you're there for. You're there to paint the picture for people who can't be there. And hopefully on the radio side of things, give me something that the TV won't.
Right.
You know?
I think we do that.
T-Bone's been complaining left and right about Jack from the studio in the Bruins games. He says he thinks he's missing a lot of things, which I don't blame him.
Yep.
How is it?
Good luck calling a freaking hockey game off a monitor.
How are you able to see, you know, because here's why. You can have multiple angles. You can have the full above-ice shot on one monitor and the close-up of the action on the other. But that is hard to look at two different things at once.
Hard to see line switches.
At the game, you can see both things at the same time. And I just think it's far easier to call a game when you are there looking at it. Now, there are other broadcasters who sit there and call games off the monitor when they're at the game.
Right.
But, you know, to each their own. But I do think most broadcasters do a better job when they're there.
Jack Edwards still in his studio?
Yes.
Yeah, has been. Same as Nesson. Same thing.
But Jack
they're at the home games.
Wait a minute. No, they're at the home games.
Yeah.
They're at the home. I've seen them at the home.
They're
games.
At the same thing. They're,
but on a road. Okay.
Road games. Yeah. Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Same setup. Yeah. I just think it's better when they're there. I hope they go back out on the road.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
It's a better sound, better feel.
Yeah. Let's go back to your call. 617-779-0985. We will do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But still, no, it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour is Zolak and Bertrand. Brought to you by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL. Addiction treatment is essential. AdCare is here for patients in this difficult time. Go to AdCare.com or call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
You, thank you, Gaudy.
Thank you, Gaudy.
Tony in Holbrook. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Two quick things. One, I just feel more comfortable and confident in Swayman. Just remember how the Bees made the playoffs, and unfortunately, Tuca decided to bail, and he left for his family, which is no problem. And two, I just think it's great that it seems everything is somewhat getting back to normal as it was in the past. Hope you guys have a good weekend.
Okay, Tony, I didn't...
Very well-delivered, deliberate, sort of Friday statement by Tony.
I didn't fully follow his first point, though, on Swayman and Rask.
Well, his first point was about Rask leaving the bubble, and we found out the hard way. That's a very sensitive subject for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's third rail. Don't touch it.
Comment on that.
Don't touch it.
Right. Even though the head coach went on record immediately afterward and said it's not an emergency, so everybody's good. That's our fault. The messaging was odd after it, that's all.
Yeah.
And then his actions. I mean, so.
Jake in Chestnut Hill. Jake.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Jake.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys just saw, but Jason McCurry just got signed to the Miami Dolphins. I was wondering if that's going to change up like the leadership role in the clubhouse a little bit.
All right, Jake.
His brother Devin's still here. I think they were ready to move on from Jason.
If they wanted him back, he would have been re-signed already.
Yep. Just the elevation of J.C. Jackson. That's another good sign that maybe Steph's coming back, too. You know, I mean, he is under contract here, duh. But he's not playing at the $7.5 million.
Talk about a couple of guys who may not mind a little bit of alone time. I mean, yeah, share a Twitter account, share this, share that. You think that...
They must get tired of seeing it. Plus, they think alike like twins.
They are twins.
Yeah. Then they think okay, I know what he's thinking. But
at some point, don't you think it's like, you know what? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, maybe for one season. Yeah, well, you know, we weren't always together. Now we've been together.
Right. One together. Like, we did it.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
It's nice for Jason to go down to Miami.
Who knows? Maybe they'll be miserable without each other, but might be nice just to change it up a little bit.
So I just have to say this. I mean, this is the appropriate time to say it. Now that Jason McCourty's moving on and going to the Dolphins, he spent 3 years here. If you had told me when Jason McCourty came to the Patriots that he would have the amount of time left in his career that he clearly had and did contribute. Mm-hmm. I'm not all pro or anything.
Right.
But that when Jason McCourty was acquired... that he would go on to play three full seasons in New England. And again, games played 16, 12, and 16 over his 3 years here. I would have said, you're effing crazy.
I would say it too, because he had one of the worst preseasons I've ever seen like a new free agent have. When he came in here, you remember that August? He was bad in games to the point that final Giants game, I think it was the Danny Etling game. He was playing safety. And I'm like, oh, man, this is not good for your career. This means – I remember John Lynch getting moved around. And then Lynch talked about that after retiring. Like, you just know it's like hits you. Same thing with Bruschi. I couldn't cover a tight end, and I just knew I was done playing against the Redskins in the preseason. And it hits you like that. And I thought it was going to hit Jason that way. He wanted to have a hell of a run here. Better than I thought he was going to have. A lot better than I thought he was going to have. More than serviceable.
The Patriots traded a sixth-round pick to get McCourty and a seventh from Cleveland when they acquired him. I would say that was a trade that worked out for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And if the Cleveland Browns had a better organization or maybe better coaching or coaches on their coaching roster, they would have found a way to make Jason McCourty work in Cleveland. and continue to be sort of a leader there, as I think he already was, but they moved on. Patriots scooped him, and it didn't look good in the beginning, and he lasted 3 years and made some pretty important plays, as you remember, in the Super Bowl against the Rams. A big-time pass breakup in that game.
Yeah.
Helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl, which we all enjoyed seeing because that guy had to watch his twin brother win Super Bowls, and he had no part in it other than to show up as a family member the week of the game.
Yeah.
And he got a chance at his own.
Was it really him, though, or was it like the defensive coordinator who was making the calls on that?
Were you with me when we were walking around? I was walking around with
Well, Brody. I know sometimes in Super Bowls, like defensive coordinators
Well, and all due credit to Matt Patricia, of course.
Yes. Were you with me at the family party? Remember at the College Football Hall of Fame?
No, the College Football Hall of Fame. I don't remember that one. We were there together, yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah.
We were eating with Tippett, and I went upstairs, and I think Brody was with me. I took Brody up, and there was this, like, area where you could just sort of a not an amphitheater seating, but I remember the McCourties were there, and they had both families, like both brothers, the wives, the mom was there, and all little McCourty kids running around crying, this one fighting and this and that. I'm like, wow, you guys are in hell, huh? And he's like, yeah. They both said, yeah, at the same time. But it's great to have everybody here. I'm like, is it?
Talk about wanting to be alone.
Kickoff party.
Tell you what, you guys, they're chasing their kids
around. We just got to the Super Bowl. The family's just arrived. Now we're chasing our kids around. Then they get a schlep. Remember, they go to a family hotel. You don't stay at the hotel.
Yep.
It's more of a it's a little bit of a pain in the ass. But I'm gonna be happy when this week's over.
Tony in Rhode Island has something for Hardy. Hey, Tony.
Ooh. Hardy, hey guy. Well, first of all, guys, great show as always. I love your show. Hardy, I think you knocked it out the ballpark. That was a great Aaron Neville imitation.
Thank you.
I'm telling you right now, guys, if you guys get a soundbite of Peter Griffin singing and you put it up to Hardy's Aaron Neville, dude, it will be difficult to tell them apart.
We got the Peter Griffin guy that can't call in, and we could set that up at some point. I can own the headlines.
In fact, we'd like him to call right now and Peter Griffin as Aaron Neville.
Hey.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
The Bruins play tomorrow at 3.
Then you got Cotman. Oh, yeah. We got the
great thing about Peter Griffin doing any voice, it's kind of like Gilbert Gottfried when he does his impressions. The impressions are good, but it's always still Gilbert. And when, you know, the Peter Griffin,
but that's okay.
The guy doing the, when Seth MacFarlane does an imitation as Peter doing someone else, it's Peter doing that person. It's like a double impersonation.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm.
So, Seth, if you want to check in, I know you've been known to call from time to time.
Yeah.
And give us a ring. Mm-hmm. Let Peter Griffin call in today and give us his Aaron Neville. It's a finish strong
it's a
Friday.
Very specific request.
Okay. We'll get right back to your calls right after the headlines. There's no commercials here. Sit tight.
Okay, here's an impression of John Wayne on the first Thanksgiving. I'm John Wayne at the first Thanksgiving, Pilgrim.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.